One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Roma Wines presents Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
The Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, welcomes you again to this weekly half hour of suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you as stars Miss Ida Lupino, currently being seen in Warner Brothers' In Our Time, and Mr. Vincent Price of 20th Century Fox, soon to be seen in the derelict Zanuck production, Wilson. For the appearance of these two distinguished screen personalities, Lucille Fletcher has written a suspense play that deals with brooding anxiety and sharpening suspicion, played against the severe and forbidding background of the late Victorian era. And so, with Fugue in C minor, and with the performances of Ida Lupino and Vincent Price, we again hope to keep you in
suspense. April 1st, 1900. Dear Bessie, this is just to let you know that I arrived in Pilotsville. Lizzie met me at the station. She's heartbroken about Papa's bankruptcy and for some reason feels that it's up to me to remedy the family situation. I told her I'd been offered a job, but she swept away that idea in horror.
A girl with your looks, Amanda Peabody, doesn't have to get a job. There are too many rich husbands floating around for that.
Furthermore, she says she has a rich husband already picked out for me right here in Pilotsville.
Don't you remember? I told you about him at Christmas time. He's a Mr. Evans, rich as Croesus, charming, cultured, a lonely widower with two dear little children. And besides that, he's just your type, a real intellectual. You should hear him play the pipe organ.
And you know, Bessie, I've met so few interesting men lately.
And all you'd have to do is lift your little finger. Mr. Evans.
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Chumley. How delightful to see you here.
I'd like you to meet my sister. Mr. Evans, my sister, Amanda Peabody.
Delighted, I'm sure.
It's a lovely party, Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Miss Peabody. Have you just come to Pilotsville?
Yes.
She's down from New York visiting me after the whirl of the hectic social season.
Oh, indeed. Well, I'm afraid our Pilotsville society must seem a bit dull to you, Miss Peabody.
Oh, no, not at all. It's charming. I've enjoyed everything so much tonight. Your beautiful house, the music. I hear you're going to play for us, Mr. Evans.
Oh, a bit. Do you care for organ music, Miss Peabody?
Very much. I never miss a church recital. But what a luxury it must be to have your own pipe organ right here in the house.
I'm afraid I couldn't do without it. It's my hobby, you know. Bach, Buxtehude, César Franck. Don't you adore their work?
Oh, Amanda's very musical. You should hear her render The Burning of Rome.
Yes. And the delightful thing, of course, about having a pipe organ in the house is that it's everywhere. To sit at a keyboard and hear the walls, the ceilings, the floors vibrate. You see, Miss Peabody, I've had the pipes installed all over the house. Under this floor, for example, are all the choir stops. Up in the bedroom walls are the stops for the swell manual. In the great 32-foot pedal stops, the giant diapasons are underneath the staircase. My children sleep next door to the echo chamber. So, you see, we live like angels here in a paradise of music.
How thrilling.
Ladies, come upstairs to the second floor landing, won't you? And I'll show you the console. It was made for me in Vienna.
April 7th, 1900. And Bessie, dear, to tell you the truth, I really find him fascinating. I wish you could hear him play. It sweeps you off your feet. There is such wildness to it, and at the same time, such dignity. And to hear the sound all through that marvelous house, rolling through those gorgeous rooms with their beautiful tapestries and potted palms. I could sit and listen to him all night.
You have the most amazing eyes, Miss Peabody. What are you thinking about?
The music. Oh, please don't stop. It's so beautiful.
Well, you seem to be as mad about music as I am. Your sister says you play too.
Oh, no, only a little. My appreciation of it is all inside, I'm afraid.
That's plenty. If one can't play, it's better just to enjoy the music of others. I can't bear this sentimental drumming, can you?
I shouldn't think you would enjoy it.
The idiotic tunes people play nowadays. Give me the old stern classics. They have strength and power. Give me something with life to it, something that will flood the whole house with sound.
Oh, that's marvelous.
You're a very unusual girl, Miss Peabody. Quite unlike the run of girls here down here at Pilotsville.
Yes, in what way?
Oh, it's rather hard to explain. Some more tea, Amanda?
No, thank you.
A muffin?
No, thank you. You have an excellent cook, Mr. Evans.
Please, please call me Theodore. You know you promised.
Theodore?
Amanda?
And your house is beautifully run, too. You must have an excellent housekeeper. Everything always looks so charming and quiet. I haven't even heard a peep out of your children.
My children? Oh, yes, the children have been away at school.
You have two, haven't you?
Yes, Daphne and David.
What sweet names.
Ordinarily, I don't approve of schools for young children, but you see, they were rather overwrought. After Mrs. Evans passed on...
I can well understand.
They were almost morbidly devoted to their mother, and then, of course, the unfortunate circumstances of her death, but I suppose your sister, Mrs. Chumley, has told you all about that.
No, not very much, except your wife was killed in a street accident, wasn't she?
Yes, in Philadelphia, a brewery wagon and four horses ran her down.
Oh, how terrible.
It's something I don't like to think about very often. Poor, beautiful Margaret. Well, it's like a nightmare, Amanda, and I still can't feel reconciled, but... Well, what I was driving at was the children. They were in school when she died, and by some malicious stroke of fate, there was an epidemic of scarlet fever raging up there. The authorities wouldn't lift the quarantine and let them out for her funeral.
Oh, poor little things.
Yes, it upset them dreadfully. In fact, I sometimes fear it's left a mark on them which may endure all their lives.
Why, what do you mean?
They suffer from delusions. Delusions about her. They think that in some way she is linked. Her soul is imprisoned in the organ pipes.
How horrible.
I wish I could do something about it. It's a frightful notion, but they won't. They don't let me play when they're at home. That echo chamber in particular next door to their bedroom.
Yes.
You know, it's nothing but an empty sealed room with a few wires. Of course, it's all because they never saw her dead. But they have a notion that she's, well, somehow hidden there.
How ghastly. They really think that, do they? Children can think up such very strange things in their little minds. Can't they?
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you as stars Miss Ida Lupino and Mr. Vincent Price, whom you have heard in the prologue to Fugue in C Minor. Tonight's tale of suspense. Let us look in on another scene for a moment. A smart dinner party at the internationally famous Hotel de Nacional de Cuba in Havana. One of the guests, a world-traveled American, sets down his wine glass and remarks that a truly fine wine always carries the unmistakable flavor of the particular vineyards from which it comes. Well, then, laughs his Cuban host, you must be homesick for California right now. For the wine you are enjoying so much is from America, from California. It is Roma wine. Yes, it's true. Our own wonderful vineyard country in California produces in Roma
wines that discriminating people in other lands esteem as an imported delicacy. Yet you, here at home, can enjoy these distinguished Roma wines for mere pennies a glassful. You pay none of the expensive overseas shipping charges and duties. Daily with your meals or when entertaining or any time, you can delight yourself with the wonderful flavor that comes from age-old winemaking traditions perfected by modern quality controls and tests. Yes, only pennies a glassful for a treat you are certain to enjoy. For remember, Roma wines are America's largest selling wines. Roma, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Ida Lupino as Amanda Peabody and Vincent Price as Theodore Evans in Fugue in C Minor. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
April 18th. I met the children today, Bessie, for the first time. It was a shock. They're strange little creatures, utterly unlike their father. The girl is about 11 and the boy 8. They were both dressed in deep mourning. Their large gray eyes seemed strained with terror. They listened and trembled at every sound.
This is Miss Peabody, children. She's a very good friend of mine. Now I want you both to shake hands with her. Oh, come now, Daphne. You can at least tell Miss Peabody how old you are.
Oh, no. Please don't press her. I know when I was a little girl, I hated people to talk about my age. I'd much rather hear about, well, about school.
We're not going back there, no matter what anybody says.
David.
That's all right. Then you didn't like school.
No. And Mommy didn't like it either. She cried when we went away.
Oh. But your mama wanted you to be educated, didn't she? She wanted you to grow up and be intelligent people, didn't she? Well, didn't she, Daphne?
Who are you?
You may call me Aunt Amanda. I'm a friend of your papa's.
Do you know where my mama is?
Your mama? Well, your mama's in heaven, dear.
No, she's not.
Then where is she, dear?
Please don't start them off, Amanda. It's too upsetting. Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. You remember when your mother was alive? We all used to play together. David, you with your cornet, and Daphne at the violin, and Mama at the piano. Well, Miss Peabody plays the piano, too. She's promised to play Narcissus, Mama's favorite piece. Well?
Well, perhaps some other time, Theodore, when they don't feel so strange.
I tell you, I've humored them to death. Now, come, David. There's your cornet on the mantelpiece. And Daphne?
No.
I insist. Look, now, I'll start the melody on the organ. David, you come in with your cornet obbligato in the third measure. Daphne, you can follow me.
What's that?
Come along, children.
What's that note? That note making that funny noise.
What note? Oh, you mean that? Oh, that's just a cipher. A wire must have stuck somewhere. One of the pipe valves.
It's Mama. That's where Mama is. She's calling for us.
Oh, don't be silly. I'll just hit the key a few times and it'll stop. You've heard these ciphers before, haven't you, Miss Peabody?
Well, I don't know much about pipe organs.
It's a common technical occurrence, but very annoying, of course.
What is she doing in there? Why doesn't it stop? That's where she is. She's in the pipe and she can't get out.
Daphne, stop that nonsense.
Oh, hush, dear. Your papa will fix it.
No, he won't. He can't. She won't let him because... he killed her.
Daphne. Daphne, what did you say?
Well, she didn't mean it, I'm sure. The poor little thing's hysterical. We should never have tried to persuade them.
Oh, Amanda. Just because they never looked upon her face, because they never saw her lying there in the coffin.
Hush, hush.
My own children believe that I am a murderer.
Theodore, you're making them both sick.
As though I who loved their mother so much, who was so devoted for 12 years. Do I look like a murderer, Amanda? Do I...
No.
There it is again. It's Mama. It's Mama.
Shh, dear. I'll take them upstairs for you, Theodore, while you try and fix it. April 24th. Oh, Bessie. Those poor little children. We took them out to the cemetery today to show them her grave. A marble angel guarded it, It was planted with pure white tulips. How final it was and peaceful. And yet they began to tremble again the moment we set foot inside the house. Poor Theodore. The man is nearly out of his mind. What can he do? I keep asking myself that question. She died in Philadelphia, you say?
Yes, on May 15th, just a little less than a year ago.
You weren't with her?
No, she went there to take a piano lesson. There was a new teacher she'd heard about. She was always so self-conscious about her technique. But she never reached his studio. They notified me at midnight from the city morgue.
And no one in Philadelphia saw her?
No one except the attendants at the morgue, of course, and the people who picked her up after the collision. It was such a brutal accident.
There had been no one from among them who could speak to the children, explain to them?
Oh, no. Oh, it's so horrible, so sordid.
Oh, I know, my dear. I hate to make you suffer. But if we could find some way, if they could just believe. When you brought her back here to Pilotsville, there was a funeral.
Yes.
And was there anybody then who saw her?
Oh, no, I couldn't bear it, Amanda. I didn't think at the time. She'd been so beautiful, her lovely, sweet, gentle face and her eyes. The horses had completely trampled.
Oh.
Even if the children had been able to come home, I wouldn't have let them look. The coffin was sealed when I left Philadelphia. I didn't want to see her again myself.
But there was a funeral. People came. There were flowers, an undertaker.
Yes?
Well, if they could believe that, if there was one witness, perhaps my own sister, Lizzie.
Funeral, Amanda? Of course there was a funeral. The finest funeral in town. A snow-white hearse and 25 coaches. Everybody sent flowers. The casket wasn't open, but I've been to lots of funerals where they don't open the casket. And from what I understand, she was pretty badly mangled. But it was a beautiful funeral. Mr. Evans played the organ himself, the finest selections, all the sweet old pieces his wife liked. There was Narcissus and Mighty Like a Rose and Goodbye Forever.
That's the way it was. So you see, David, my sister, Mrs. Cholmondeley, was there.
Yes, but how did she know it was Mama?
Oh, David.
She didn't see Mama, did she?
Well, nobody saw your poor Mama, dear. She wouldn't have wanted anyone to see her.
Mama wasn't there. She talks to us every night. She tells us to look for her.
Where, dear?
In the pipes.
But, David, your Mama's dead. She's been dead for nearly a year. Now, you saw her grave out in the cemetery. She's happy and at rest.
Why doesn't Papa give us a key? If he'd only let us have it, we could look for her.
What key, dear?
The keys to the pipes. There's a little door just underneath the stairs. That's where the big pipes are. And inside it's all dark. There are the tunnels. There's a little room. That's where she's hiding. That's where Mommy is.
Oh, David, darling, now look, come here.
No, I hate you.
But why do you hate me? Why don't you let me help you? Because what?
Because you like him.
Him?
Papa, you're going to marry him, aren't you? Yes, you are. Davina says you are. You're going to marry him. Then he'll send us back to school. There'll be no one left to help Mama. Poor Mama will never be left out. Oh, I hate you. I hate you.
David, what are you doing here? David, did you strike Miss Peabody?
He's sick, Theodore. I'm sure he's very sick.
Now go to your room at once. Oh, those dreadful children. I tell you, Amanda, they'll ruin whatever happiness we might have.
Theodore, I love you very much, but I couldn't marry you. Not with that child's cry ringing in my head. We've got to help them. Give them that key. Let them go and look in the room where the pipes are. Then they'll see for themselves that there's no ghost.
Key? Who told you about a key to that room?
The children.
The children? Amanda, I'm going to tell you something. Something I've never told to a living soul. It may frighten you.
Yes.
Margaret was going mad when she died.
Oh.
No one knew it but me. It ran in her family. I discovered it long after we were married, after the children were born. Otherwise, I'd never have...
And now you think the children?
I'm afraid so. It was peopling of sound she had, just like them. A fear of the dead's returning. She used to play... What's that?
Sounds like the organ.
But the motor isn't on. The console was locked when I left.
Someone's trying to play.
No one but me can touch that instrument. It's forbidden in this house, and the servants are out. Unless those children... Come upstairs, Amanda.
Theodore. Why, there's no one here. No one at the keyboard. The organ's playing itself.
That's impossible. The motor's not going.
The motor?
Yes, it sets the bellows going. There's no air in the pipes unless it's on. No air to make the pipes speak. It's impossible, I tell you.
Perhaps the children found the key and got in.
Key? No. The key's here in my pocket.
There's no other way in.
No.
Theodore, open that door. Go in there and see what's happening, please.
No.
Theodore.
I won't give in. I won't be a prey to it. Do you hear? I won't. I won't. Here. It stopped now.
Yes.
It was probably nothing but the wind.
Theodore, give me the key. I'm not afraid.
Are you saying that I am?
I don't know. But I'll be fair with you, Theodore. I couldn't marry you and live here with that any more than your children can.
What do you mean?
Rip out those pipes. Rip out the whole pipe organ. Give it to a church, but don't keep it here.
Get rid of the pipe organ?
Yes.
But I couldn't. The whole house was built around it. It's been the very soul and spirit of this home.
It's been the curse, you mean. Theodore, I know I'd go mad, too, if I had to listen to it night and day. It's so hollow. Think of those pipes so huge down there in the darkness. I'd begin to hear things, too.
Be quiet. Be quiet. Come outside. We'll take a walk.
No. Give me the key.
You're hysterical, Amanda. I'm sorry. I've overburdened you.
Why don't you want to go in there? Is it because you know something? You did something?
What do you mean?
Did you kill her?
Amanda. Very well, Amanda. Here's the key. If that's the way you trust me, we'll go down and look around together. Come now, Amanda.
I'm sorry, Theodore. It slipped out. It was a dreadful thing to say.
It's all right, I understand. Yet it hurts a little. I've trusted you so completely, Amanda.
Theodore.
Yes, Amanda.
Let's not go in there. I do trust you, darling. I believe everything you've told me.
No. This little key. To think it should mean so much.
How black it is.
Yes, pitch black.
Cold. Where are the pipes? I can't see them.
Come in further, Amanda. You'll see them as soon as your eyes grow accustomed to the darkness. The biggest pipes pack this well under the great staircase like giants.
Oh, yes. I'm beginning to see them now. Shouldn't we go and get a candle?
Oh, no. Go in a little further. Be careful. The floor is a maze of wires. Now stand there for a second.
Theodore, don't leave me.
I won't be long. I thought you said you weren't afraid.
No, I'm not only... Where are you going?
Just upstairs to play for you.
Theodore!
I'd like you to hear how the music sounds in the darkness. It's quite an experience being so close to the pipes. You know, narrow, suffocating, especially when I play the great Passacaglia and Fugue of Bach.
Oh, Theodore, please. I don't want to stay
here. Perhaps one of the Rheinberger symphonies or the great chorales of César Franck. Margaret, of course, preferred Narcissus.
Margaret!
You're very gullible, Amanda.
Then you did kill her. You killed her in this room. And you're going to kill me.
Yes, yeah, simple, isn't it?
But why?
I don't know. One gets tired every now and then of mere music. Sometimes the classics demand competition. A scream, for example. There's something so exciting about pulling out all the stops and drowning out all human sound. Have you ever tried to match your voice, Miss Peabody, against the thunderous voice of Bach? It's most effective. And then when the struggle gets weaker, when the air is almost gone and you choke and gasp for breath to bring the music down softer, softer.
Theodore, you're mad, you're mad.
Come, Amanda. Would you deny me that pleasure?
No.
I promise you the concert won't be too long. It takes about 8 hours before the air gives out. But you know, I could play for days. And don't worry about the children. I think you've convinced them about the ghost. What's that?
Theodore.
Someone shut the door. It's locked and the key's outside. Who's there? Let me out! Let me out!
Theodore!
Get away from me! Let me out, do you hear? Let me out! Let me out! I can't breathe! I'm suffocating! It's so dark, I can't breathe! Let me out, please! Please! I can't breathe! I can't... No! No, don't! I can't! Let me out! I can't breathe!
Ugh. Theodore! Let me out! Let me out! He's dead! He's dead! Daphne! David! Where are you? Open the door! Help me! Help me! Oh, no! No! Help!
May 1st, 1900. I shall be coming home in a few days, Bessie. I still can't sleep at night. I still hear that laughter. Still hear that cornet playing its unearthly music. And Theodore Evans once more lies dead at my feet. It was his heart, Bessie. He died of fright. In those few moments, he anticipated the hideous fate he had meted out to so many. And I might have died there if he had not gone so quickly. But the children hated me. They wanted to kill us both. Those terrible, pathetic children. What horrors they must have sensed in that charnel house. There were other women beside his wife. The police found them all buried and stuffed away into unused parts of the pipe organ. Bessie, I was in that pipe room alone with him for 4 hours before that door creaked open. There they stood, and I shall never forget their faces or the things they said.
All right, Miss Peabody. You can come out now if you're really sorry.
I'm sorry.
Are you sure he's quite dead?
Yes, he's dead.
We were right all the time, weren't we, Miss Peabody?
Yes, you were right.
Now, will you come and help us find Mama?
And so closes Fugue in C Minor, starring Miss Ida Lupino and Vincent Price. Tonight's tale of suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear.
Of all the rich treasures man gets from the earth and Mother Nature, none has been more highly esteemed than wine, good, delicious wine. And if you are one who does not yet know how much and how delightfully Roma wines add to your meals, well, let me urge you not to miss out any longer on such a treat as this. There's nothing complicated about it. Just get and serve Roma wine with any meal or any time in any kind of glass you wish. Serve it chilled. Try the many different kinds of Roma wine until you find those you like best of all. Try Roma California Sherry with its wonderful nut-like flavor as an appetizer, or Ruby Red Roma Burgundy, or the deliciously delicate-flavored Roma Sauterne. These superb wines cost you only pennies a glassful. Yet, they make even the simplest meal taste like $1 million. Get some today. And if your dealer is temporarily out of Roma, please try again soon. You owe it to yourself to have and regularly enjoy R-O-M-A, Roma wines. America's largest selling wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Ida Lupino. Mr. Spear has just been telling me a little about next week's suspense show. The star will be Thomas Mitchell in the story about a man who had headaches, tried everything to cure them, finally went to a psychiatrist, and found out that he was a murderer. Now, that certainly sounds like a broadcast we listeners won't want to miss. One more word. Don't forget to buy that war bond this week.
Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Thomas Mitchell and Donald Crisp in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
In the event of any important news developments, the sponsor will interrupt this program. Roma Wines present
Suspense.
Roma Wines. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
The Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California welcomes you again to this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight from Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you as stars two of the screen's most distinguished actors, Mr. Thomas Mitchell and Mr. Donald Crisp. They appear this evening in a play written for Suspense by Robert Tallman, in which psychiatry is called upon to deal with a sick mind which has unknowingly been tempted thrice by murder. And so are the performance of Thomas Mitchell as the millionaire tycoon Edgar Lowndes and of Donald Crisp as the psychiatrist Dr. Aronson. We again hope to keep you in Suspense.
Yes?
There's Mr. Edgar Lowndes here to see you, Dr. Aronson.
Lowndes? Edgar Lowndes? When did we get him for patient?
I think you'd better talk to him, Doctor.
Yes, and I think he'd have to go through the usual routine.
I don't go through usual routines. I'm Edgar Lowndes. I dare say you've heard the name before, Doctor.
Well, who hasn't? Edgar Lowndes, the railroad magnet. Sit down, sir.
Thank you. Well, I'm a man of a few words, Doctor. Frankly, I'm at my wit's end. Why, if my business associates had any idea I was consulting a psychoanalyst, I'd be laughed off the floor of the stock exchange. But we'll never mind that. It's these headaches, Doctor, I've been having. An aspirin, codeine, nothing seems to help.
How long has this been going on?
A little over a month. Since the death of my wife, in fact. We were very attached, you know. Very attached.
Her death was a shock to you?
No, I wouldn't say a shock precisely. She's been an invalid for years. Bad heart. Wasn't so much what happened the night she died, but the way it happened. Oh, but why shoot off my mouth to you about it? I've told the story 1,000 times till everybody's sick of hearing it.
Well, perhaps you haven't told all the story, even yet.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's the truth, Doctor. There's one little thing I left out. But the funny part of that is I didn't know it myself till yesterday.
And what was that?
Well, I was dressing for dinner. I was getting ready to go out when in comes my wife's servant. You know, her nurse. She's all a flutter about something.
Mr. Lowndes, I hope you'll forgive me for bursting in like this, but Mrs.
Yes,
Lowndes...
Yes, speak
well,
up,
she's
sir.
Resting quite well, Mr. Lowndes, but she did have that little attack this afternoon, and I can't be here this evening. And what with the servants' night out being tonight, I thought...
Yes, you thought I'd better stay with her, and I certainly will. Now you just go along about your business. I look after Mrs. Lowndes, personally.
Oh, I knew you'd see it that way. You're a good, considerate man, Mr. Lowndes.
Edgar.
Feeling a little rocky, darling? Well, old Edgar's not going to let you down, not even if it means losing that war contract.
Oh.
I'm going to sit right here with you, sweetheart, and Lowndes, Reed, and company can go hang.
Oh, no, Edgar. There's no reason for you to stay, really. There isn't.
Just the same, I'm going to stay right here with my little wife this evening.
Really, Edgar, it's not necessary. If you'll just get the brown bottle out of the medicine chest, the digitalis, and leave it here by my bed with a glass of water.
And leave you here alone in this big house feeling the way you do? Not much, not for 100 war contracts.
Now, Edgar, do as I say. Just leave the medicine here by my bed and everything will be all right. Now, go on, darling, and do as I say. Please, it's the brown bottle.
Now, Dr. Aronson, what would you have done under the circumstances? After all, I'd left her alone before and nothing had happened. And this dinner was important in a business way. That night was my big chance.
Your big chance? Yes, I suppose it was.
Well, to make a long story short, she died while I was out. Now, if only I'd stayed with her. That's what I kept telling myself. And people I told the story to kept telling me that I shouldn't reproach myself. After all, it could have happened to anyone. And then yesterday... Yesterday, I was packing up her things, and I came across this bottle in the medicine cabinet. It was the digitalis. I'd left the wrong bottle by her bedside. That was what drove me nearly crazy, Doctor, finding that bottle. It was bad enough leaving her alone, but making a blunder like that on the medicine, why, it made me feel almost like I'd murdered her.
But as you say, it was your big chance.
Huh? What do you mean? What are you trying to tell me? You mean you think I wanted to get rid of her?
You say that, Mr. Lowndes. I didn't. But I see our time is up. I can't talk to you any more today.
Oh, but you've got to. You can't leave me up in the air like this. Why, you practically accuse me of wanting to murder my wife.
Perhaps we'll understand your feelings towards your wife better, Mr. Lowndes, when we've discussed the others.
What others? Hey, what are you trying to give me?
Relief, Mr. Lowndes, for those headaches of yours.
Tonight for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you as stars Mr. Thomas Mitchell and Mr. Donald Crisp, whom you have heard in the first act of Case History on Edgar Lowndes. Tonight's tale of Suspense.
Far from the scene we've just left, far to the south across the equator, is another scene I ask you to visit with me. It's just before the dinner hour on the beautiful roof terrace cafe of the Hotel Metropolitano of Guayaquil, Ecuador. We're finishing our appetizers, an excellent sherry, and lifting your glass, you remark to our host that you envy him such wine. He laughs. You're very kind, he says, but I'm afraid the compliment is misdirected. It is your own California you must praise for this splendid wine. And then he holds the bottle up, and looking at the label, you see Roma California Sherry. This could easily happen in many far countries where discerning tastes have found Roma wines a luxury, imported and treasured. For these are, in every sense, fine wines, excellent in flavor and character, from the rich vineyard country of California. Products of age-old skills in winemaking, aided by modern scientific quality controls and tests. And here in the United States, Roma wines cost astonishingly little, mere pennies a glassful. Because here there is no import duty to pay, no overseas shipping costs. Such enjoyable flavor and quality, such low cost, such high wine value, have won tremendous popularity for Roma wines. They are by far America's largest selling wines, enjoyed by millions with meals, when entertaining, anytime. To enjoy these delights yourself, ask for R-O-M-A, Roma wine. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Donald Crisp as Dr. Aronson and Thomas Mitchell in the title role of Case History on Edgar Lowndes. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
He's outside now, Doctor. Here are your notes on the case.
Oh, good. Just leave them here on the desk. And, oh, Miss Finchley.
Yes, Doctor?
From now on, when Mr. Lowndes is in the consultation room, I want you to keep an eye on my private office. Make sure that the recording equipment is in operation at all times. I want a record of every word he says in his own voice.
Is this a criminal case, Dr. Aronson?
I don't know yet.
But hadn't you ought to... I'm sorry, Doctor.
You can let him come now, if you will, Miss Finchley.
Yes, Dr. Aronson.
The doctor will see you now, Mr. Lowndes.
Thank you. Well, well. Here I am again. Surprised to see me?
How are the headaches, Mr. Lowndes?
Well, sir, they evaporated just like that. I slept like a top. Don't know how you did it, but you've sold me on this psychiatry deal. So I thought while we were at it, doctor, I might as well straighten out a couple of other little things that have been worrying me.
I rather thought there were others.
Ha, now, listen, doctor, don't start talking in riddles again. Maybe you were right. Maybe I did want my wife to die. Unconsciously, of course. Well, why not? She'd been an invalid for years, always complaining, never really getting anything out of life. Yes, sir. After I left your office yesterday, I thought the whole thing over, and I said to myself, Edgar Lowndes, you look at this thing squarely. Maybe you killed her. Maybe leaving the wrong medicine by her bed that night was not so much of an accident as you think it was. So what? You did her a favor. You did yourself a favor. She never really loved you anyway. If Jim Bascom...
Who's Jim Bascom?
Why, he died in a railroad accident. We were brakemen together on the old nickel plate road. Jim and me were like twins. Roomed together, worked together, liked the same thing, even fell in love with the same girl. Why, I remember the night it happened. We were leaving on the Pistol.
I think we better climb on top, Ed. It's our signal.
Hey, wait a minute, Jim. There's Virginia.
Ah, bless her heart. I knew she'd come to see us. So hurry up, sweetheart.
Oh, gee, I'm glad. I was afraid I'd be too late.
That's not a train in the whole nickel plate line you wouldn't hold up for us, Virginia.
Oh, Jim.
Baby.
Hey, what about a kiss for me, too?
Why, Edgar, you're jealous, I do believe.
Well, why not?
Oh, there. How's that?
Like my own sister.
Oh, come on, Ed. They're getting impatient up there.
You've got to tell him this time. You hear me, Jim?
Yeah, I'll tell him. I promise, Virginia.
Hey, come on, Jim.
Come in, Ed. Come in. One more kiss, baby.
Oh, darling. My darling, take care of yourself, Jim.
I will, baby. Don't forget to send out the invitations.
I knew when I saw him kiss her like that, it was all up for me with Virginia. Jim told me when we were crossing the divide. He and Virginia were going to be married the minute they got back to Milwaukee. We were carrying an extra heavy load that haul, and when we started down the pass...
Ed, for the Lord's sake, watch me close. Don't turn your wheel till you see me turn mine. One jolt away, this train's rolling down the grade, and we'll all land in the ravine.
Sure, Jim. Don't worry.
I gotta be in good shape for that wedding, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I watched him walk back along the cars. It was pretty dark, and I had a cinder in my eyes since we left Salida. I thought I saw him reach the brake wheel on the other car and signal to me. I grabbed the wheel in front of me and braked my car with all the strength of my body.
Hey! For the Lord's sake, Ed!
He rolled free of the car behind. The coupling on Jim's car had broken. The light changed as we crossed the switch, and the runaway cars braced out at a dead-end spur. I saw Jim's body jolt free of the splintering car and hurtle out over the gorge. Just then we plunged into a tunnel. I never found Jim's body. Well, so you can see why I think of trains in connection with death, can't you, Doctor?
Yes. Yes, the association is quite clear.
Uh-huh. Now, you're thinking I killed Jim too, aren't you? Isn't that what you're thinking?
Is that what you're thinking, Mr. Lowndes?
I don't know what to think. Say, what are you trying to do to me anyway? I came here to get professional advice. You're trying to drive me crazy.
If that's the way you feel, perhaps you'd better try another doctor.
I will. By George, I will. That's just what I'll do.
Well, good luck, Mr. Lowndes.
Huh? No hard feelings.
No, of course not.
And you won't tell anybody about...
Why, what is it, Mr. Lowndes? You're trembling.
There it is again. It's happening again, Doctor. Say, Doctor, you've got to help me. You've got to.
Forget what I said about getting another doctor. I need help.
Mr. Lowndes, calm yourself. What is it? What's happening again?
I'm hearing it again. The train. Like in the dream. Make it go away, doctor.
But I hear it too, Mr. Lowndes. It's just a commuting train that passes over the bridge out there. Look out of the window. You can see it.
Oh. Oh, of course. Thank heaven. I thought the dream had...
You never told me about a dream before.
No, and I'm not going to. You know too much already.
Yes, Mr. Lowndes, I'm afraid you're right. I know too much already.
And I have kept a complete record of each interview with this patient by means of a recording machine concealed in my private office. There is no doubt that the patient has twice committed murder unconsciously, and on the day the patient stopped the analysis, he exhibited hysterical symptoms which were brought on by the sound of a railroad train.
Yes, go on from there, Miss Finchley. New paragraph. The train is a death symbol for this man and appears to be the subject of a recurrent dream. The danger of the present situation lies in the fact that the patient's unconscious impulses have been brought to the surface without being rationalized. There is, in my opinion, a positive danger that the patient, in his present condition, may commit one or even more conscious murders, particularly should he take it into his head to board a railroad train.
Pardon me, but I noticed you were traveling alone, too, and I wondered if you'd like to join me in a little game of cards.
Oh, well, that's a great idea. Come on in.
Thank you, thank you. Railroads of my line, Edgar Lowndes.
Not E.J. Lowndes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, this is in the nature of an honor, sir. You're something of a tycoon, Mr. Lowndes.
Thanks.
My name's Ellis Neckwear's my line.
Mr. Ellis, say, I could use a couple of neckties. Got any samples with you?
Oh, sure thing, Mr. Lowndes. Right here in this case. There you are, sir. Take your pick. Compliments of the Swelligan Cravat Company.
Uh-huh. Now, this one strikes my fancy.
Well, go ahead. Take it. See any others you like?
Well, let me think.
Oh, hey, there's another tray under there.
Say, hey, look.
What?
Out the window there. See it?
I don't see anything. What are you doing? Come on.
So his line was neckwear, was it?
Yes, sir.
Pardon me. But I noticed you were traveling alone, sir, and I wondered if you'd like to join me in a little game of cards.
Oh, that's a good idea. Come in. My name's Jenkins. Cutlery's my line. Knives, scissors, and surgical instruments. What's your line?
Police of five Midwestern states are on the lookout tonight for the homicidal maniac who stalked the corridors of the Lightning Express transcontinental luxury train, claiming the total of three victims murdered in cold blood. Edgar J. Lowndes, an executive of the railroad who was aboard the train on the fatal night, has posted a personal reward of $50,000 to anyone giving information leading to the arrest of the murderer.
Well, it's happened.
There was nothing you could have done to prevent it, Doctor. Even if you'd sent your report to the police, there wasn't enough evidence.
And there still isn't enough evidence. Well, you run along. I'm going to stay here and finish these reports in longhand. You can type them in the morning.
You're sure you don't need me?
Absolutely.
I think I'll take your advice. Good night, Doctor.
Good night. Oh, Miss Finchley! I almost forgot to tell you... Oh, she's gone. What a nuisance.
Talking to yourself, Doctor?
Lowndes. How did you get in here?
The door was unlocked. Would you rather I'd come back during office hours?
Why, yes. I'd rather you did, Mr. Lowndes. Was it very urgent?
It's the headaches, Doctor. They've come back. It started again about a week ago.
Well, that's after what happened on the train.
Doctor, tell me the truth. Did I commit those murders or didn't I?
You're the only one who knows the answer to that.
Something to do with the dream, I think.
Oh, yes, the dream. We were getting around to that when you left here the last time. Now, tell me about it.
Well, I hear the sound of the train, and I'm sitting there beside someone, a stranger, I think. He's wearing a checked waistcoat, and there's a heavy gold watch chain with an elk's tooth suspended from it, like the one my father used to wear when I was a child in Wisconsin.
Tell me something about your father.
He died when I was quite young. He'd been an invalid, Doctor, ever since I could remember. He used to sit in an armchair, in a wheelchair it was, really, in front of the parlor window. He looked out into the street hour after hour. Sometimes, when I came running into the house, he'd put out his cane and trip me, and I hated him for that. At one time, Doctor, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old at the time.
Edgar? Edgar, come in here this instant. Your father wants to talk to you.
Oh, heck, Mother, I was going to get up a ball game.
Now, the ball game can wait. You come along with me.
Can I ever have any fun, Mother? Can I?
Hush up. Here he is, Jonathan.
Come closer, boy. Won't ever look at you.
Yes, Father.
Just as I thought. Grass stains all over the new suit I bought for you, huh?
Where?
There. And there. And there. And there. And there. And there. I won't have him get the idea just because his father's an invalid. He can roll in the dirt like a gutter snipe and get away with it. Stop blubbering. Now go wash your face. I'm driving into town today. I want you to go along, run errands.
The car my father drove was an all-electric, a battery job. His legs were completely paralyzed, and my mother had to practically lift him into it. But the car itself was entirely controlled by hand. Driving it gave him a sense of power he needed. I used to dread those trips into town with him, the horrible spectacle of Mother helping him in and out of the car while the neighbors stared, and then riding along with him alone, without anyone, nothing, to intervene for me. That was the worst.
Mom, speak up, boy. Why don't you say something? Cat got your tongue?
No, sir.
I don't know why I had to raise a boy like you. You don't even keep me company on these trips into town. Poor helpless invalid, your own father.
I'm sorry, sir.
You're sorry. I think I'll give you another caning when we get home, just to make good and sure you're sorry, huh? What do you say to that? Oh, bother. Now look what's happened. Stalled. Batteries run down again. Get out and open the hood in the back, boy. You see a switch there. Turn it to the left where it says reserve battery. Hurry up. We're stopped right on the railroad track.
Turn the switch to the left where it says reserve battery.
Yeah, yes. Hurry up. There's a train be along here any minute.
Oh, yes, Father.
Don't just stand there looking stupid. Go and turn the switch, as I told you. What's the matter with you? Have you gone crazy? Don't you hear the train coming, Edgar? Edgar, you want your father to be killed? I can't get out of here by myself, Edgar. Now, please do as I say.
No, the train can kill you for all I care. I'm going back home.
Son, don't you understand what you're doing? You're murdering your own father. Now, this is murder. Murder, I tell you, murder. Murder. Murder.
I walked home with those words of his ringing in my ears. I can hear him yelling yet. Son, don't you understand what you're doing? You're murdering your own father. Murder! It's murder, I tell you! It's murder! Murder! But I never felt a qualm. Those words were like sweet music to me, Doctor. Well, that's the end of the story. But it's only the beginning. When I walked into this office for the first time, I was a man suffering from headaches, seemingly brought on by grief over the death of a loved one. Now I see myself as a man who murdered his father, his best friend, and his wife, who must kill and kill again, because every time I kill, I'm killing him, my father, whom I hated beyond all comprehension, and for whom one death agony was not enough. Now that you know all about these things, my dear doctor, I'm afraid that you'll have to be the next on my list.
Put that gun away, Edgar. You don't really want to kill me?
I'd be a fool if I didn't.
Well, the headaches will come back, Edgar. There'll be no one here to cure them.
They won't come back. You showed me what caused them, didn't you, Doctor?
You'll have worse things than headaches. You'll begin to hear things. You'll have delusions. You'll think you can hear a train passing outside at this very moment, don't you? But if you look out of the window, you'll see there's no train there at all.
You won't trick me into turning my back. Come out from behind that desk. Keep your hands up high. That's it. Now then.
What was that?
Don't you understand what you're doing?
Where's that voice coming from?
You're murdering your own father.
There it is again.
It's murder, I tell you. Murder.
Stop it.
Murder.
Stop it.
Murder.
Stop it.
I hear your voice.
Stop it.
Murder.
I can't stand it. I'd kill myself.
Then give me the gun, Edgar.
Please, Doctor, make it stop. Take it away. Only here. Make it stop.
That's enough, Miss Finchley. Shut it off.
Are you all right, Dr. Aronson?
Yes, thank you. You almost had me thinking I was hearing voices.
Well, I did hear voices, and that's why I came back. And I remembered about you wanting Mr. Lowndes' interviews recorded, so I went in the other room and started the machine. When he became violent, I played back the last part of the record, thinking it might divert his attention.
Good girl. We've got all the evidence we need now to put Mr. Lowndes where he can't do any more harm.
You may have evidence, but you haven't got me, and you won't get me alive.
Dr. Aronson, the window! Stop him!
Sorry, Doctor. I can't wait. I've got to catch a train. Hey, Jim! Wait for me!
Twenty-one floors to the street. Or is it 20? Do they skip 13 in this building?
Well, it doesn't matter to Lowndes. He's back with his friend Jim Bascom on the old nickel plate line. Listen. It's just crossing the divide.
And so closes Case History on Edgar Lowndes, starring Thomas Mitchell and Donald Crisp. Tonight's tale of Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear.
To every woman listening tonight, I want to say a special word about making every dinner or supper you serve taste better. I want to urge you to start serving Roma wine with your meals. It's simple, the cost is very, very little, and it works magic in making food more enjoyable. You can serve Roma wine with any meal or any time in any kind of glass you wish. Serve it chilled. Try different kinds of Roma wine until you find those you enjoy most of all. Try hearty red Roma California Burgundy or the delicately delicious Roma California Sauterne. The cost is mere pennies a glassful, but you'll find even a pickup supper tastes like a banquet. Get Roma wines today, and if your dealer is temporarily out of them, please try again soon. Just ask for R-O-M-A, Roma Wines, America's largest selling wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Donald Crisp. I'm sure I speak for both Mr. Mitchell and myself in saying how much we've enjoyed appearing this evening as the guests of Suspense, which I'm sure must be one of your favorite programs, as it is one of ours. Next week's stars of Suspense will be Geraldine Fitzgerald and Richard Wolff, who appear in one of the most extraordinary stories by that most extraordinary writer, James Thurber.
Thomas Mitchell will next be seen in the 20th Century Fox production of Wilson. Donald Crisp will be seen in the coming Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, National Velvet. Next Monday, same time, you will hear Geraldine Fitzgerald and Richard Wolff in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
The following message from our United States Treasury is brought to you by Roma Wines. The invasion is on, the biggest in history, and it needs backing that is equally big. So back the attack. Buy war bonds. Buy more than before.
the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.